the sanctuary. As I mentioned, today is Ascension Sunday. Now, the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ doesn't get a lot of play. It's not one of those big feasts and celebrations in the life of the church that we put a lot of attention to. But I think that it is very important that we do not ignore the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that is a very, very important thing. Today, I want to say that my organizing principle in the message is what about the ascension? So what about the ascension? And now what about the ascension? Again, what? So what? Now what? So what is the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, we know that the Lord suffered and died on Golgotha, as is mentioned in the scripture that we read today, and that over a period of 40 days, through many infallible proofs, Jesus taught the disciples. Later on, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, Jesus first appeared to Mary, and then to Cephas, or Peter, and then to John and the other disciples, and then a little bit later, we know about Doubting Thomas, who didn't get to meet Jesus that first time when they were all together in that room. And then it says he met with an ever-expanding group of people up to a time when he spoke to more than 500 people in one instance. And I think that this is very significant, because some critics of the resurrection of the Lord say, well, you know, they saw Jesus in spirit. You know, a couple disciples, they thought that they had seen Jesus in spirit. Well, you can have a vision, maybe one person can, but 500 people in one sitting having the same vision? Mm-mm. And that's why Luke, the physician, this incredibly gifted Greek, probably the only non-Jewish writer of the New Testament, lays out very clearly, he says, through proofs that were incontrovertible. In other words, beyond the shadow of a doubt, every one of those disciples and every one of those 500 people knew that this was Christ, this friend of theirs who had come back to life. Now, yes, he had a different body. It was a glorified body, the kind of body, I believe, as a Christian, that eventually all of us will have. And so he was able to walk and talk and eat fish and break bread, but also to appear suddenly in a room or disappear suddenly. It's hard for us to imagine that kind of a body, this kind of mix of physical and spiritual reality. But it is a fact, because we will all be physically resurrected, the scripture says. What a joyful truth that is. So Jesus, during that 40 days, was teaching the disciples. Now, he had been teaching the disciples for 3 years. But as you all know, my brothers and sisters, how many times does it say in the gospel, they didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend. During the 3 years of teaching, they didn't have a peg to hang their hat on in terms of so many of the things that Jesus was talking about. It was only after the resurrection that they got it. They understood. Things began to fall into place. So you see, that 40-day period after his resurrection was absolutely crucial in communicating all of the teachings about the kingdom that Jesus had been doing for 3 years. That 40 days was kind of like putting it all in place. Incidentally, we all have been experiencing quarantine. And it's from an Italian word, quarantine, 40, in popular culture, but also throughout the scriptures. 40 is a number of fullness, of fulfillment. The people of Israel traveled in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus fasted and prayed and was tempted for 40 days. Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples in his glorified body, bringing home the truth that he had been teaching for 3 years. Again, that 40 days is a time of fulfillment, a time of fullness, and it is so important. So, what is the ascension? I said that we were going to talk about what it is, and so what? What is the significance for us? And now what? You know, in John 14, Jesus laid out to his disciples the truth that he was going to die, but that he was going to be resurrected again. He was going to come back to life. And he said, I have come from heaven, and I must return to heaven. But I will not leave you as orphans. I will send you the Paraclete. Now, Paraclete is a Greek word, and it has a broad range of meaning. It can mean friend. It can mean comforter. It can mean the one who comes up alongside of you. Jesus said, I must go. I can't stay here. But I will send the Holy Spirit. He says right in the text, and not many days hence. In fact, it was 10 days hence. Because Pentecost, which we are celebrating next Sunday, is 50 days. So Jesus left on the 40th day. And he went to Bethany. And Bethany is just outside of Jerusalem. And he's speaking final words to his disciples. And he says, I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to leave you now. And they said, wait. Wait, what? Aren't you going to establish the kingdom? All of Israel has been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And now you're here. And of course you're going to take up your kingship. You're going to kick out the Romans. And you're going to establish the reign of the Messiah. And what does Jesus say? I think in that moment, I can just see him shaking his head. Guys, people, you still don't get it. I'm not talking about establishing a physical kingdom right here, right now. For the last 3 years, I've been talking about a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom is with you. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, the kingdom is in you. Don't you understand that? He's talking about a spiritual kingdom. Now, there will be a day when he will establish his physical kingdom on earth. But Jesus says to his disciples then, and he says to us now, but this is not your business. The epochs and the times of this eternal kingdom coming into establishment here in this new heaven and this new earth, that's for the Father to know. I must go now to the Father. I must leave you because if I do not leave, I cannot send the Paraclete. And I must go to be with the Father, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to take my rightful place. So he's explaining all of these things to his disciples in John 14. And he's not only saying what is going on, but he is explaining also then the significance of that. What is Jesus doing? He's going up into heaven, and there's a cloud, and he disappears, and then there are angels. There were angels that attended his resurrection and said to people like Mary, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Go. So there were angels then, 40 days after that, who also appeared and they said, Men of Galilee, why are you out looking and staring into the sky? Dumbfound. In another place it says, and some doubted. And some doubted. Even then, they're like, what's going on? Are my eyes tricking me? What is going on here? I love that that's there. Because it shows that we're flesh and we're blood. And we struggle with doubt. In fact, I'm going to be honest here. You know, I've thought the same thing about this text. It's like, how very convenient that Jesus disappears after 40 days. And doesn't establish his kingdom. So, like, how can you prove that there is a kingdom? You can't. And that's one of the things that skeptics say about Christianity, is like, the Messiah, where is the Messiah? We don't see any of the impact of the Messiah. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's death. There's pandemics. There's all types of disease. And you're telling me that Jesus is king and he's reigning right now? Excuse me, it doesn't really look like it. And that's tough. And that's something that we as Christians have to address. How is it that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, even now, which he said that's why he had to ascend to heaven, and is reigning, and yet there's so much trouble in the world? Jesus says in John 14, I'm going to heaven, and I go to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I must go ahead. I must leave now, and you must stay, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will send to you the Holy Spirit. And we know one of the beautiful things that the Holy Spirit does is it witnesses in our hearts that we are beloved daughters of the King. We are beloved sons of the King. We spoke about how Jesus is reigning, and he does reign through the church here on earth. He is sending out the word of his gospel that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the time when we get to work. What is the ascension? So what is the significance of the ascension? Now what? We get to work. We're here now. And we wait. I think it's beautiful that in this scripture we see, and they saw Jesus go up and he disappeared into the cloud and they worshiped him. Don't miss that. And they worshiped him. Jesus is now gone out of their sight and they're worshiping him. You understand, there's this transcendent spiritual reality going there that even though we cannot see Jesus, we worship him. And then what do? They leave Bethany and they go into Jerusalem and they gather, and the first thing that they do is pray. Because Jesus said, stay together, stay in Jerusalem, and await the gift. Now they're praying. They're having the prayer meeting of their lives. And they're going to pray every day, every day. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. They're going to pray each day until the 10th day. And the Holy Spirit is going to fall on them like tongues of fire. And they're going to speak in tongues. And amazing things are going to happen. And the gospel is going to be preached. And many people will come to faith. Hallelujah. They watched, they worshiped, they gathered, they prayed, they waited. My brothers and sisters, we must wait. But while we wait, we worship. And while we wait, we pray. We pray for the infilling of the Spirit. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this Spirit that has come into your heart, that testifies that you belong to him, when you believed, the Spirit came into you. But do you know that there is a fullness of the Spirit that we can pray for every day? Don't be content just with a one-time touch. We want to drink from the well every day. So pray and wait every day and say, Lord, what is the good work that you have for me today as I share the gospel, as I do the work, as I tend the garden of my life for your glory and for your praise and for your honor? And one final thing. Now what? Here's the thing. It's not about, okay, now we got to get to work. And that's the end of the story. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the scripture says that he is interceding for us. He is our high priest. Bill, do you know that Jesus is praying for you even now? And he is taking your requests to the Father, from his lips to God's ears. Do you know that God loved you so much in Christ that every concern and every burden and every doubt and every fear of your life, Jesus Christ is whispering that into the ear of the Father. And he is upholding you And he is lifting you up. And by his Spirit, he is telling you, I've redeemed you. I love you. You are mine.